Evening, church. Today we'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 9. This can be found on in the church Bibles from page 1217. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer great grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor. When Jesus Christ is revealed, through you have not seen him, though you have not seen him. You love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let me ask you a question. How often do you have to be told? How often do you have to be told? Please don't ask Ronnie afterwards, because I might be embarrassed by her answer about how often I have to be told. But there we are. Imagine that you're told something by somebody. You may or you may not decide that it's important. Well, they've told you, that's fine. Imagine they come back and they tell you a second time. Ah, okay, we begin to get the idea that it's important, at least to them. And then they come back and they tell you a third time. Oh, maybe we begin to think it's important to them and to you. Then they come back and tell you a fourth time. Perhaps now it's time to start taking notice. How often do we have to be told? Let's take a moment to pray. Lord, please open our ears that we may hear. Open our minds that we may understand. Open our hearts that we may love you and trust you more. And open our mouths that we may praise you. For Jesus' sake. Amen. It would be good if you could keep your Bibles open, if you had your Bible open, and if you hadn't had your Bible open, there's a Bible in the pew in front of you, and it's on page 1217, if I remember correctly, 1 Peter 1, 3 to 9, because I don't want you to miss some of the details, some of the repetition, the how often do you have to be told. What we're going to see is we're going to see some what, some who, some what, some when, some why, some how, and so. Who, what, when, how, why, and so. Let's start with who. Who? Well, you. That's who. You. Notice how often in this passage Peter mentions you. Verse 4, kept in heaven for you. You greatly rejoice. Verse 6, you may suffer. Verse 7, it's about your faith. Verse 8, you have not seen, yet you love. You do not see, and yet you believe. Verse 9, you receive, and it's about your faith, your souls. Now, the wonderful app on my phone tells me, interestingly, that all of these yous are plural. They're plural yous. So it's not just you or you, but it's you. It's what the Americans, I think, would call a y'all. We don't have a plural you in English, but the Americans do, bless them. You all. Hence, verse 3, going back to verse 3 again, it's about our Lord. It's given us new birth. How often do you have to be told? Peter tells us 13 times that it's you. It's important. That's why he says it so often. This message is for us today. Who? And then what? A message for us who are what? For those of us who have faith. Yes, it's important. It's mentioned 4 times. Verse 5, you who have faith. Verse 7, it talks about the genuineness of your faith. Verse 8, you who believe. Verse 9, the end result of your faith. It talks about believing there. Believing is important. But faith is more than believing, more than just a mental acceptance. Faith is putting our trust in something, relying on it, being committed to it, being devoted to it, being devoted to what we say we believe. He's mentioned it 4 times about faith. But faith in what? Well, the repetition goes on. Faith in 6 things or 6 mentions. Verse 3, faith in His, God's, great mercy. Faith in receiving new birth. Faith in a living hope. Verse 4, faith in a promised inheritance. Verse 5, the coming of salvation, he says. The salvation of our souls. In other words, it's about getting mercy instead of what we deserve. It's about being brought into God's family, having confidence in what God has said and done, being saved from God's wrath, being saved, that's the salvation, receiving an inheritance as a member of the family. Do you remember the story that's told in one of the Gospels about the man who came to talk to Jesus one day, and he said to him, "Master, tell me, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, he's beginning to ask the right question, but as part of God's family, of course, there are things that we will do. He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And as part of God's family, there will be things that we do. Jesus makes some suggestions. But eternal life is not a wage for what we do. Eternal life is an inheritance for members of the family. We were talking with our family a few weeks ago about wills and inheritances. And inheritances go to those who are members of the family. We have faith in our inheritance because we are family members of God. We have become family members of God by a new birth through faith. You come to faith. Faith in a God who has done things for us and still will do things for us. But when? When is all this going to happen? When do we exercise our faith? Well, we're called to exercise our faith now. Now. Notice the past, the present, and the future in what's said in these verses. Verse 3. He has given us new birth. He has given us new birth. Past tense, has given. On the cross, through the work of the Spirit, faith in what God has already done. He has given us new birth. That's the past. But verse 3 goes on, we have hope. Now, in the present, we have hope. Faith in who God is and what he has made us to be in the present. Members of his family, we have hope in what he has promised. But there is also an end result, a kind of a not yet, kept for us in heaven, verse 4, to be revealed, verse 5, it says, when Jesus comes, verse 9. I've recently had the blessing of a birthday, and there were some presents that came along. Unlike Eddie, who doesn't like to know what he's getting on his birthday, he was telling us this morning, those of you who are here, I do ask for things for my birthday. Somebody says to me, what would you like for your birthday? And I tell them. And so I kind of knew what's coming, but I still had to wait for it. The promise was there. I've had to hang on until the right day before I could open the parcel, confident of what I was going to get. God promises us an inheritance in heaven, but we have to wait for it. Which leads us to ask, how? How will we receive mercy? How will we get new birth? How did we become part of God's family? And verse 3 tells us, and it doesn't repeat it, so listen carefully. It's through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The young people tried it a few moments ago and I felt a kind of mixed result. So let's try it again. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
You're getting better. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The Lord is risen. Well done. A little bit of repetition is a good thing. Of course, there can only be a resurrection when there has been a death. Do you realize that? There can only be a resurrection when first there is a death. And Jesus, we saw it in the play, wasn't it brilliant? Jesus was arrested. Jesus was tried. Whipped, crucified, speared, and died. Earlier, Jesus had said, I have come to do the will of my Father who sent me. But on the cross, the last thing he says is, it is finished. It is finished. He has completed the work that God gave him to do. The price has been paid. He took my sin. He paid my debts and yours. This is mercy demonstrated. Jesus died. But now, he is risen. He is risen. The tomb is empty. The angel opened it and said it was empty. The women came and saw that the tomb was empty. Peter and John ran to the tomb and found the tomb was empty. The grave clothes were still there, but Jesus had gone. The guards, surely the guards saw him rise from the dead, didn't they? They were frightened out of their lives and polaxed on the floor. The Jewish authorities knew the tomb was empty. Otherwise, they'd have said, well, you're at the wrong tomb. You should go to that one. No, the tomb is empty, according to them. Why else perpetrate a stupid lie about, well, the disciples came and stole it while you were asleep? Yeah, right. I don't know what you remember from when you're asleep. But if you're asleep, you don't know what went on, surely. They knew Jesus had said that he would rise again from the dead. The disciples seemed to forget it, but the Jewish authorities knew it. That's why they asked the tomb to be guarded and sealed. The stone is moved so that we can see in that the tomb is empty. But not just an empty tomb. Mary met Jesus in the garden. The disciples met Jesus several times. twice in the upper room, on the Emmaus Road, at breakfast on the beach, 500 of them at one time, at the Ascension, Paul on the road to Damascus. John, an eyewitness to these things, one of the disciples, writes about that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and with our hands we have touched, we proclaim to you. The tomb is empty. People have seen him and met him. The Lord is risen. You've gone all weak and wobbly on me again. The Lord is risen. You believe, have faith. You've received a new birth. The Lord is risen. But why? Thank you. Somebody's awake. But why? Why? And who again? Why has God shown mercy? Why has he offered us new birth into his family? Why has he given us a living hope, the salvation of our souls? Because God, that's who, so loved, that's what he did, the world that he gave, that's what he did, who, his only son, there's Jesus, that whoever believes, there's the belief, the trust, the confidence, the faith, in him should not perish, there's the salvation, but have eternal life. There's the promised inheritance and hope. It's all there. So, say it with me. There it is on the screen. If you can't see it because of the sunshine, it's over there. If you know it by heart, just say it by heart. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And the scripture goes on. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love to us in this, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 1:12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Why? Because he lives. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, John goes on, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are, because he lives. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There's our hope, because he lives. So, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We have an inheritance as God's children. We have a hope, though we've not received it yet. It's kept in heaven. Yes. Verse 6 tells us that there may be rough, tough times ahead, all kinds of trials. But the promise is sure, because he lives. So, five things to conclude with. Verse 3, we praise him. Verse 6, we greatly rejoice, so that we give him praise and glory and honor. Verse 7. We do it, verse 8, with an inexpressible and glorious joy, because we love him, because he lives. How often do you have to be told? How often do you have to be told? Have you put your faith in Jesus? Have you received the new birth that God offers us to be part of his family? Do you trust the promise of hope that he has given. Do you know that Jesus lives? Do you know that you are loved by God? If so, let's praise, let's give him honor and glory, let's love him. If not, come and talk to us afterwards. We'd love to tell you more about it. Come and pray with some of us who are going to be out the back praying, and we can pray for you. Let's close with a brief prayer. Father God, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for Jesus dying in our place. Thank you for his resurrection. Thank you for our new birth into your family. Thank you for the hope of an inheritance kept in heaven. Please increase our faith. Fill us with your Spirit, that we may give you all the praise and the glory, now and always. Amen.